Who am I? Who am I really? This is a question that started to creep into my awareness as a conscious thought when I was an early teen. I may not be able to figure out who I was, but I did know things that I did not want to be. For sure, I knew I did not want to be like my parents. I'm sure, like most teens, for me, it was a difficult time for understanding the me in comparison to others. For even at a very young age, we grapple with the whole comparison problem that is thrust upon us from a very early age. Parents compare their children to one another, teachers compare students and grades and behaviors. Why can't you be more like Bobby? Or, Beth is so much better at that. Can't you try harder? And the understanding taught to us is that one way of being is better than another, and that we are to aspire to be better. The better behavior, the better at school, the better at sports, the better, always a comparison with a value placed upon it, one which leads to acceptance and a feeling of belonging in the group, or not. Now, this comparing has its positive effects to encourage one to grow, to practice the things that are not fully formed innately, like sports or music, and to practice to become better. But it also teaches us to determine a value on things, a value on behavior, and a value on people, worth. So, who am I? I can list a lot of qualities to which I would hope others would also label me. But then again, I am in comparison of what I think of myself and what others think of me. And even if the list of qualities I exude are glowing, there are also the comments and qualities which are grayer on the spectrum, those that don't meet some predetermined societal norm. And I am an even harsher critic than those who don't like me. Is this who I am? So here I am in comparison of what I think of myself and what others think of me. Should it be what I feel I am? A reflection of the good and the bad qualities I think and feel describe me. But is this an inner knowingness of my being? Having an inner knowingness of my being, well, I certainly didn't have that as the struggling teenager and young adult who wrote poetry of angst and pain and wanting, of needing to belong, to fit in. Well, we do progress through our teen years and graduate high school, and then we get a little older. At some point in our young adult lives, it is easier to ignore these thoughts of who I am when we get our first real job and when we get married. Then we are part of a couple. So I am part of a couple. Okay, good. There. A definition of who I am. I'm a wife. Then I'm a mother. That role I gladly accepted and took as the concept of the primary part of who I am. I love being a mother and feel I have been good at it. But still, that is not who I am, and although deep within, I realized this at the time. It is so much easier to define myself and others by the roles they play in their lives and to the qualities which are easily visible. I am an occupational therapist. I am an energy worker. I am a soccer mom. I like to help people. These are things that others could easily acknowledge as definitions of who I am. But there are a lot of words that aren't so kind from others, ways which I obviously do not fit in the norms of society, words and judgments about who I am that I have internalized by now, that describe other characteristics of my behavior. And they are about my behavior, and they think that is who I am. Is this who I am? From the judgments and determined values of others, of society at large. But then we get older and less distracted by the roles we are playing. or we struggle with the jobs, that is, the ways we make money to support ourselves, and our roles in life shift. And then creeping back into the forefront, we go back to wondering, who am I? I have experienced early adult losses of friends in my life, starting with Susie, a woman who, with her wife, had a child 4 months before we did. She had cancer before she was pregnant and the growth was removed, and then they said that it would be unlikely to come back. Well, cancer did, as an unusual and aggressive chondrosarcoma of her chest bones and muscle. The cancer had manifested not long after their daughter was born, and by the time Jordan was one, she was gone. Then my mother died a few months later of breast cancer. And then I got divorced and was single. When Jordan was 9, the woman I thought of as my best friend died, also of breast cancer. Her death sparked in me the beginning of the concept of eulogy. How do you want to be remembered? When they stand up and talk about you, what would they say? How many people really know who you are? Do you really know who you are? Do you define yourself by the jobs you've had, the adventures you have taken, by the number of people you have helped? Does it matter whether you've helped only one or thousands? Do you define yourself by the judgments of the society which you were brought up in at the time, by the norm, whatever that is these days? How do you judge yourself? What is your worth? Because with comparison comes determination of value of importance. That value of importance, be the importance to someone else or the comparison I have of myself to others. This value of importance molds our vision of who we are. From comparison stems worth. Let me say that again. How do you judge yourself? What is your worth? Because with comparison comes the determination of value of importance. That value of importance, be it the importance to someone else or the comparison I have of myself to others, this value of importance molds our vision of who we are. And from comparison stems worth. So that leads us to, what are you worth? What am I worth? In the Unitarian Universalist Covenant of Principles, the first principle is to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Well, that does seem pretty easy for most of us UUs. Every person, just because they exist, is deserving of the basic necessities of food, shelter, protection from violence, and every person is born with a measure of worth. So the first principle is to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. But let me see if I understand this right. I've come up as a child who was compared to other children, as a student, to other behaviors and abilities, and as an adult, to the work ability and parenting ability of others. I've been compared to others and to societal norms. Although as a UU we may not want to acknowledge it, we have judged ourselves and also in turn others. And if you don't think UUs are judgmental, ask them about President Trump. I assure you that each person has determined his worthiness. They have judged him on his verbalizations, his behaviors toward women, minorities, and unfortunately, most recently this week, his action against transgenders. And we have judged his policies. So, each of us are inherently worthy. And now we do the comparison. What are they worthy of? Is a minority inner city illegal immigrant worthy of water, food, shelter, fair and just treatment? Oh, that one is easy. Of course they are, just for being human. And although society may have beaten them down and told them horrible things about themselves, perhaps they've even ingrained these thoughts of themselves, but they do have a basic level of worth just by being human. Now, this seems easy to accept. But what else are they worthy of? So let's go back to Donald Trump. In my mind, he has an overinflated sense of self-worth. It appears to me that he feels he alone is the worthy one, who, and all others are beneath him. But we judge him and others like him who cry out against the downtrodden. But Trump is also worthy, and we are to acknowledge and promote his inherent worth and dignity, even if we may feel he is not displaying much dignity. We are to acknowledge and accept his worth, his viewpoints, his being, and treat him with dignity. Now that seems harder. But in the determination of who am I, we compare. Am I the roles I play or the behaviors others see me? Where in between the ways others would see me and where I see myself is the truth. When we integrate the truths that others thrust upon us, the insecurities of the human nature, the comparisons and issues that stem from our childhood, the difficulties we have as adults, I'm exhausted just listing the amalgamation and chaos that is created when all these viewpoints swirl around in my being. What am I worthy of? What do I deserve beyond the basics that any human deserves? Do I deserve more than the basics? Am I worth it? Am I worth the extras in life? For someone gets to have them, so aren't I worthy enough to be one of the select few? Am I more worthy than Donald Trump? Who am I? In the eulogy of my life, what will people say about me? There have been so many people in this church who have passed in the last 4 years who have had what I would consider amazing lives. Here's an example of three, all who are so totally different. Bob Perry, Arlette McClure, Reverend Ken Warren. Totally different, but to me, equally awesome. People like my friend Arden, who died when Jordan was 9. Famous people who had horrible illnesses, but still went on to create amazing things. Beethoven, who became deaf and was still able to compose masterpieces. Composer Robert Schumann, who had a paralyzed right hand. Van Gogh had seizures that caused depression and hypergraphia. All very human beings, with faults and positives, all able to create in their lives in spite or with help of their difficulties. These people have done great things, had great adventures, done great deeds, or touched lives in ways which seem a far cry from my ordinary little life. In comparison, that is. So who am I? Most of us don't create much in our day-to-day life. No great masterpieces or vaccines, no amazing music that the world loves. So how do we expose who we truly are? Well, we too are creative, even if not on the grand scale. Perhaps it is in the garden, by being the gardener, or by being the one who appreciates its beauty. Appreciation creates love within us and oozes out to the universe. Perhaps it is the smile in the grocery store to someone who looks weary. We don't have to create physical items to show our value, or even to have done things of great impact, or things that are not measurable, or perhaps totally unnoticed. But we can create love. If we simply are appreciating the moment, being in the moment, we create love, and through the flow of love, generate peace. So even if we don't know who we really are in the scheme of the world, perhaps we don't have to know. That can be okay, because who we are is complicated by humanity and society, and things that in the grand scheme of the universe are not important. Love is permanent, and we are innately love. We may forget this in our behaviors, but we are innately love. Perhaps just finding ways to express ourselves, our positive and our not so positive, is enough to be who we are, even if we are unable to describe who we are, like the great artists I listed earlier. But we can all create, to live in the moment and appreciate all that is around us, no matter what peace or chaos is swirling about. Being and appreciating, these create worth. Everyone has touched another person's life in some way, whether known or unknown. If we can become comfortable in just living to the best of our abilities, acting from a place of love to all things which we come in contact, then we will be who we truly are. Even if you or I or the guy who doesn't know us but judges us doesn't know exactly who we are, perhaps just by leaving small little pieces of ourselves or tiny alterations on other people's lives is enough. And we have all done that, whether we can acknowledge and see it or not, accept it or not. We are all worthy. We evolve over time as we age and our experiences mold our lives. I am certainly not the teenager I once was, or the woman in her 20s starting out in adulthood. I am not who I was prior to having had cancer. As we choose in each moment in the lives how we feel, if we are being and sharing the love we have within us, we have in each moment the ability to be something different, or be what our soul truly is, love. How do we find that inner peace, that inner sanctuary, when all we hear is the noise from the outside and judgment from the outside and from our inside, those deep thoughts and voices that create fear? So if we can't find the inner peace within ourselves yet, it's a good thing to have a community here to help us and support us in our times of struggle and pain. This UU community we've created here is a blessing available to all, newcomers and long-timers equally, a community you can rely on. May we be calmed and supported by the chalice, the light of our community, which we can bring with us wherever we go. For it is a visual and physical representation of a place which is available to you for support, companionship, and love. It can give us that springboard to help us be the innate love that we are. And if we can appreciate beauty in an object, in a person, we create love. And then from this love, a little more peace. And by practicing these things over and over, the love and the peace can overcome the chaos and the judgments of the world which weigh upon us and weigh upon those we care for. Who am I? I hope in my eulogy people will say that I was fun-loving, that I practiced gratitude, and that I tried to help people whenever I could. I would like to be thought of as loving. But I won't be here for my eulogy, so I hope one of you wrote that down to tell my son. That is who I am. What am I worth? I am worthy of love and joy, of comfort and peace. And so are each of you. Appreciate all things before those we judge as positive and negative. Appreciation tempers our judgment and allows us acceptance and the ability to send our own love, as well as love from the universe that flows through us, out to those who are unable to see or be the light that this time in their lives. May we all find and be the love in the universe. May we share this love. May we value the worth of others, whether we can appreciate their behavior or not. And may we be remembered in our eulogy as who we truly are, not just for some of our actions. Blessed be.